Welcome to the Write Your Novel with David Allan Patali podcast, a place for real talk about what it takes to create a book. My name's David Allan Patali, and I'm going to give you a no-bullshit run-through of the tips, techniques, and insights that have shaped my writing practice and helped me create a novel I'm truly happy with. We write because it's hard, because we have to, because we need to. But you don't have to suffer needlessly for your art. With the right strategies, mindset, and community, you can get it done and enjoy the process. So let me take you on a ride where writing myths get exploded, excuses get torched, and the path gets lit just a bit brighter.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. I won't inflict any more on you. Happy birthday, dear Locust Summer. 2nd of July, even though this is being published on the 1st of July, and Locust Summer actually came out on the 2nd of July, 2021. I still celebrate it today as the birthday because, hey, let's do this. It's been 1 year since my book came out. 1 year. And a lot's happened in that time. And I'd like to take the opportunity, this episode of the podcast, to look back on the year that was and see if I can, you know, extrapolate some lessons there or some reflections there that could help others on their writing journey, because that's what this podcast is all about. And I suppose a burning question that a lot of people want to ask, but often don't, is, you know, what's it like to be a published writer? And I'll say, having been one for a year, not much different. Really not much different, in the sense that when I actually come to the page, I'm just like anybody else. Nothing's really changed all that much. Yes, you have the confidence that comes from that and perhaps the affirmation, but the publishing of a book is so different to the creative process that it's almost totally divorced from the two. And that was quite an eye-opening thing for me, because what I imagined was going to happen, I suppose in the writerly mind, is that the contract would come through and then, you know, Zeus's lightning bolts would come down. And I would transform into this pipe-smoking, jacketed writer with a big beard. And, yeah, obviously that didn't happen. Because the work is the work, and the work remains the same. That said, it is a complete joy to have a book out in the world. And I suppose the first thing that I would probably like to... that I would like to convey is that the book is no longer mine. I've learned that over the last year. That, yes, it has my name. Yes, I get to reap what royalties come from it. Yes, I get the glory of it, all of those things. But the book itself is now in the hands of readers. And that is a really, really amazing thing to realize, because all of the intention that I had in writing it, all of the work that I put into it, really doesn't mean anything until it actually reaches the hands of a reader, because the reader is the other half of that dance. And when people start to read it and they connect with it and they enjoy it, some don't, that's fine, it's not for them, that's cool, but others do. And then the best part is they tell you about it. I've had really, really joyous experiences of connecting with people who come up to me and say, I grew up in the country and you captured what it was like for me. You said some of the things that I wish I could have said. You felt some of the things that I felt as well. And seeing that recognition in another person through the work of art that you've created is so special and so precious and so rare and so goddamn worth it that it pales in comparison to anything else. Being nominated for prizes, having people clap you on the back and say, well done, social cachet, getting the first paycheck from it. All these things are great. They pale in comparison to someone coming up to you and saying that the thing you created moved them. The thing you created was reflected in their own heart. And I mean that very sincerely. It is a great privilege, and it is a really, really great thing to happen to you. And I think it's the best part of writing the book. It's the thing that I actually enjoy the most. It's why I often do a lot of book clubs. It sounds like I'm stroking my ego here, but book clubs can be pretty intimidating because, you know, you go along to a large group of complete strangers. They invite you into their home and they've all read the book and they all want to ask you questions about it. And I've had people say they didn't like the book. I've had people say they love the book. I've had people be indifferent. I've had all those kinds of different reactions. And you know what? I enjoy every last one of them. It doesn't have to be all smiles and sunshine. Of course, I love it when people love the book. But when people say, oh, I didn't quite like that part or didn't like this character, I find it endlessly interesting. And I don't take offense because, you know, the price of admission for creating any art is that it's completely subjective. And when you go to something like a book club, you put yourself into that space where things are subjective and people tell you about it. And I just find that great. I find it really, really, really exciting. You know, I've had, you know, most people are good. And even when people don't like it, they're very polite. And that's totally cool as well. And it all just goes into this great experience for me. I mean, I think I'm someone that just likes to experience stuff. I'm the eternal traveler. So for me, I've taken this as just an interesting journey to be on, just something that I've just greatly enjoyed having. And that goes for, you know, also appearing at writers' festivals or discussing stuff on stage with people. It's just great to be part of a conversation, to have contributed a verse to the conversation and then to hear what it ignites in other people. And that's something that I didn't really imagine all that much when I was writing Locosoma, because the thing I was focusing on was finishing it and perfecting it, well, making it as best as I can. I've got to be careful with that word perfect. Making it as best as I could and then seeing if I could find a home. So I didn't really think beyond that. And so to come into that space was actually a real joy. Was really, really interesting for me. And it's seeing other writers come into that as well has been really interesting for me as well, because you get to see that joy happen over and over again. I think that's really cool. The second thing that I struggled with initially is the publicity. It's a very different beast to, you know, you're in your writer's garret. You're very private. You're doing this on your own. And then all of a sudden you have to switch into publicity mode. And that can be anything from a radio or print or online interview with somebody or appearing on stage at a writing festival. And it doesn't matter what it is, my heart thuds through my chest every single time that I do it. And, you know, the old joke is that you write the book and then you have to figure out the story of how you write the book. So I didn't necessarily do that. I mean, I did have to kind of put things into a story mode of, you know, so people say, tell us about how you wrote the book. And I have a particular way of telling it, and that's become pretty well grooved, but I also try to trip myself up every now and again so it stays fresh. But it's uncomfortable territory, because you're talking about something that's so personal and so private that you just wish, well, can't you just read the book? But no, people want more than that. They want to know the story behind things, and really they just want to know about you, and they want to know about the journey that you took, because people find it interesting. And I'm happy to tell them a bit. I don't say everything, and I probably never will, but I say what I'm comfortable in saying. And that's kind of the equilibrium that I found, in that the publicity part is tough, but you find your level within it. And from there, when you find your level, you can actually just be yourself. And that's what I've found quite liberating. It's a space where I've actually found I'm very comfortable just being me. I'm not trying to put on a persona. I'm not trying to put on an act or anything like that. Whereas, say, in a professional role, you know, you put your game face on. You know, I just try as much as I can to be me. That said, there is an element of game face to this, because you've got to ameliorate yourself a bit. But and that can be tiring. But, you know, who's to complain? This is the best thing. I love it. I would have the Perth Writers Festival happen every day, honestly, and I would be happy to sit in the audience too, just to soak it in. And that's probably a really cool thing as well. You become part of a community, you become part of a conversation, and you become part of the life, the cultural life of Australia and of Perth and of in a wider sense the world. So yeah, the publicity's tough, and you've got to do some things sometimes that are a little uncomfortable. But you get used to it, and I think eventually you become pretty good at it. And I think one of the highlights that I had was a couple of months ago, I think it was, I spoke to Michael Trant, the author of Wild Dogs, and he and I have spoken on stage a couple of times before, so we had a pretty good groove going on. And I interviewed him about Wild Dogs at the Wanneroo Library, packed house, you know, probably 50, 60 people in the audience, and we just had a great time. It was just two mates on stage having a yarn, and we were talking about inspiration and character development and, you know, how it's an outback thriller, but, you know, because in the Australian outback, the roads are really straight, so it's like a high-speed chase, but in a straight line. You know, we just had these great stories and insights, and two mates on stage having a yarn. And I think that really, to me, even though it wasn't about Locust Summer, it was about somebody else's book, that to me was one of the highlights. It was just being in a position where I could talk about writing in a really joyful and caring and generous way with someone who is comfortable in his own skin and showed me a different way of talking about books too. So you never know what you can learn. You never know what you can do. I mean, I remember starting out, my first on stage interview was Rebecca Giggs, the author of Fathoms, and Chris Flynn, who was the author of Mammoth. So both of them for the Perth Writers Festival at His Majesty's Theatre. So a huge proscenium arch, massive velvet curtains and gabled gold everywhere, cameras on me, the whole thing. And I found that a really almost terrifying experience that I also thoroughly enjoyed, kind of like a roller coaster. And I did okay with it. But now I think back on that and think, wow, I was really uncomfortable doing that. But now I'm pretty grooved at it. And it's nice to be able to feel that growth. And it's something that I actually never expected to happen. Like I said, you know, when I'm writing the book, you don't think about this kind of stuff. But it's nice to know that you can do it. And the more you do, the better. I think the better you get at it and the more comfortable you are. The other thing that I was really surprised at is that, you know, the book finds its own way. It doesn't really matter what you do in terms of publicity. And that's not to denigrate any effort from marketing departments and that kind of thing, because Fremantle Press's marketing department worked their butts off for Locust Summer, and they got me some great publicity and really good opportunities, and it was really wonderful to be part of. But then something kind of funny happens in that the book finds its own level within the audience, within the readership. And that's what's really cool. It's kind of like the marketing is kind of like a rocket booster to get you into the stratosphere. And then from there, gravity takes over. And when it becomes part of the readership, that's when people take it into the areas that it needs to go to. So I've had people write to me from, you know, distant parts of the wheat belt, from over east, from overseas. It's really cool finding where Locust is ending up and what lives it's affecting and what people it's touching. So the book does its own thing, and you've just got to kind of let it do its own thing. So it's been really interesting to see, yeah, how the water has found its level, I suppose. And part of that is kind of letting go, because when you're just waiting for this book to come out, you want to control everything. You know, I was very anxious about it. I was anxious about being judged, about it being read, about people confusing the story of Locust Summer with me. You know, a lot of people say, is that you in the book? And I'm like, no, not at all. It's a character. I made it up. But, you know, you worry about all kinds of silly things at 2 o'clock in the morning. And then it comes out, and this blur of publicity that you're really unprepared for, no matter how much you do prepare. And you find your feet within it, and then you worry about sales, and you worry about, you know, how is it being received. And then the greatest thing happens, the book just gets up on its own two feet and off it walks, and it finds its way. And being with a publisher like Fremantle Press, they gave the book the best chance of getting onto its feet. And that's really all you can do. After that, the readers take over, and it finds its way. And it really has. It's been really cool to watch it grow. It's kind of like watching a kid grow up, but over a year. not particularly. I've got two kids. It's a bit tougher than that. But the final point I'd make is the one I first made, but I want to go deeper into this, is that writing's no harder. I remember I got the... Sorry, the writing's no easier. I remember I got the contract from Fremantle Press sent through. It was like, yep, congratulations, and had a can of Guinness to celebrate it. This is when we were still on the in the caravan trip around Australia with my wife and daughter Ruby, and yeah, signed that and had a can of Guinness, put Ruby to bed, and then pulled out my laptop and tried to do my words for the day, staring at, you know, a semi-blank page and thinking, wow, this is, I'm a published writer now, but this is no easier. I still have to do my work, and it's still a grind, and it's still tough, and it's like trying to figure out a riddle that you then have to invent the algorithm for to actually crack. Just a constant battle of things, and that's been really quite humbling. It's humbling to know that, you know, that you, it's not an endorsement that you are, you know, of any kind. It's, this story was good, but let's have another. And so now I'm working on something else, and that has been all the way through the publication of Locust Summer. I've been working on another story, and I think that's really what kept me grounded and sane and focused, because you can get carried away with this stuff and stop doing your work, and then you get really rusty. So I'm glad I always had something on the go, and that's something I've had throughout my writing career. I always have tried to have something on the go. Doesn't matter what stage I'm at, if I'm entering it into a competition, if I'm finalizing something else, there's something in the bottom drawer waiting for my attention, so that, you know, it's like, well done, you finished that, right, onto the next thing, onto the next thing, onto the next thing. And part of the motivation for me in working to finalize this work in progress that I have and then see what I can do for submission is I just want to get the bloody thing done so it gets out of the way of the next thing. It's not to say this is a conveyor belt, this isn't a production process, but creativity demands that we finish stuff and we push it out and we do something else, because I don't know what's going to happen in two or three books' time. What if you know, if this book doesn't go anywhere, well, maybe the next one will. Maybe the next one will after that. You don't know, but until you actually get it out of your mind, onto the paper and onto the laptop and then out, you're standing in your own way. That's what's been really, it's really stood out for me, that the importance of just keeping on working, not to rest on your laurels, not to just go, well, one and done. No, let's keep going. So what would I do differently? Not too much, but in the lead up to publication, I would not send out my work so quickly. I got a lot of rejections, and I think most of them were incredibly justified. There's no such thing as a bad rejection if you take it well and if you take the lesson that it contains, because even the hardest no's are indications that this needed work. And I think I sent it out too early. And the reason I sent it out too early is because I was fixated on publication rather than the hard work that needed to be done in order to get the story finished and get the story worked up to a level where it was suitable for submission and then suitable for consideration for publication. So that's the one thing I would change. I would duck probably half to three quarters of those rejections by keeping it closer to my chest and not trying to jump the gun. Some of those rejections came about because of things like it got shortlisted for the Vogel. So I thought, right, strike while the iron's hot. But I didn't quite understand that the Vogel shortlisting was actually an indication of, this is good, you should keep going on this. It wasn't, this is good, send it in. But you never know till you try. The other thing I would change is I would seek better homes for it. When it was ready to go out for submission, I lined up a bunch of publishing houses and agents that I thought would dig it, and I got no's from them. And on reflection, wasn't the story for them. It wasn't the story for them. But the moment I submitted it to Fremantle Press, which was aligned with the artistic, personal, and even spiritual goals that I had for this story, they said a yeah. They said yes immediately. So I knew that in my gut that I should have gone with them first, but I didn't. And I regret that. I should have gone there first. So trust your gut, trust your instincts, interrogate what you're wanting to do with the story, what is the best place for it, and then just go for that one. That would be one of the main takeaways for it. And after that, there's nothing I would change. I wouldn't change a single day, really, apart from those things. But maybe those were the things that made it made it what it is. There's nothing really that you can look back on, and I don't look back on anything with any great regret. I look back on it with pride. And I was thinking about this the other day. You know, I was listening to a podcast from David Goggins, the Navy SEAL motivator guy, and he was basically saying, like, when you've achieved something, you've got to go back to square one for the next thing and look at the reasons that you were doing it and go back to when it was hard and go back to when it was simple and go back to when you were doing it for the pure love of doing it, because that's when you find your reason for keeping on going. And to me, the best times of writing were, you know, I was on the caravan trip and, you know, I just had a fold out table and a solar powered lantern, and I would set that up at 8 o'clock at night and write for 2 hours outside. With a mozzie net over me sometimes, with a glass of scotch to keep the mozzies away. When it was cold, when it was, you know, we're in the middle of the desert with stars above me, and that sounds really romantic, but actually it was hard work, because it was hard to see, it was cold, I had to stay very quiet so I didn't wake my daughter up, and I just needed to get the work in. But I look back on that and I think, wow, that was such a brilliant time. It was such a brilliant time, and working without hope of reward or anything other than just the pure joy of the writing. So that's what I try to connect with now. And in the daily battle of my existence, you know, like I've got so many things that I need to do for work or for family or obligations, all these kinds of things. I still find time to write. And in those moments, I often catch myself just, you know, looking out through my study window and I can see the stars. Yeah, I'm not outside anymore. I'm in a study. But I just connect with that memory of when it was hard, of when it was uncertain. And I still see it as uncertain and as difficult now, and it just centers me again in an almost blank state. Because the work is the work. Writing is writing, and that's all we have. And I wouldn't really have it any other way. So a year on from publication, I'm deeply appreciative of the experience. I really am. And I look back on with fondness of everything, and I look forward to everything that's going to come. But ultimately, I'm just looking forward to getting back to the page tomorrow morning.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Write Your Novel with David Alan Petali. If you loved what you heard, hit the subscribe button. You can follow me on socials at David Alan Petali. Don't forget, this podcast is about writing your novel. So make sure you drop any of your questions into the link in the show notes, and I'll make sure I answer it on the show. Until next time, happy writing.